Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of The Synopsis. I am Zach and I will be your host as we go down the rabbit hole, and it has been a while, guys. I do apologize, but it has been quite the adventure the last week or so. So we're going to discuss that a little bit, but first I will tell you what our subject of the day is going to be. We are going to be talking about urban legends. Some creepy ones from different areas, from different countries, different states, and overall just some weird stuff that we will be discussing with the urban legends. So that will be the main part of our podcast today. That will be the main part of the synopsis. But what I am going to do is we are going to have a quick little interlude before we do a This Time Online, as we usually do. I'm going to kind of tell you about this last week and the struggle. So, if you follow the podcast and you follow the Twitter and the Instagram at The Synopsis Pod, you will know that I have been sick the last 3, 4, maybe even 5 days. I've had bad sinus infections, I've had nothing but mucus coming out, I've had a sore throat. It's just been a pretty bad time. And as you know, if you can't breathe, you can't really talk, so it's more difficult to be a podcaster when you are doing that, obviously. So the whole talking thing was kind of out of the idea, so I was like, okay, let me take a couple days off and let me reassess everything and get more healthy and get back into the flow. So I took a couple days off. I took 2 days off on one of the podcasts because the last one I uploaded, again, I sounded sick and it wasn't that good. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll take a few days off, I'll feel better. So I'm about to record a podcast and I start feeling sick again. I start feeling lightheaded, my nose starts getting stuffy. I'm like, okay, not ready yet to do another one. I'm going to have to delay it longer, which made me upset because obviously I want to be recording podcasts and I want you guys to be listening and enjoying. You may hear a couple of background noises. That will be the wife listening to some of the television. The new season of The Walking Dead just dropped on Netflix, so she is watching that, and the baby is in the house today, so there may be some background noise also with the cat. Hopefully when we put the music in editing, you don't really get to hear that stuff, so you'll be okay. The cat's about to jump up here, so you may hear a couple of meows. So as I was saying, so I didn't feel that good. I was like, okay, well let me take another day off, and I don't want to be skipping the podcast, but I have to, so okay. So I took another day off. And then it got to a Saturday, and I was like, okay, I need to record a podcast. And then it got to Sunday, and I was like, I really need to record. And now we're here today on Monday, where I'm finally recording. I went through, after I got sick, a little slump, a little piece of my mind was like, I just really don't have the energy to do this. I don't have the time to do this. I'm wasting my energy, I'm wasting my time, because there's only a few people listening right now. And then I thought to myself, well, hang on a minute. Those few people want to hear what you have to say. They want to hear your podcast. They want to hear you discuss things. And they want to interact. So I have to keep going. I have to power through. So I went through that little slump. I said to myself, I need to keep going. I need to get myself back on track, back on trend. So here we are on the Monday, the 2nd of September. And it's 11 a.m. Hopefully this will be uploaded at about 2 p.m. today, after I do the recording and editing. And like I said, going through that little slump and going through that sickness was like, okay, it gave me more of an idea how to get shit together. So here we are doing the podcast. And speaking of, after we discussed last week online, we discussed doing 2 or 3 episodes a week, and you guys voted on doing 2 episodes a week, saying that would be good enough. You guys will be happy with 2 episodes because it gives me more things to talk about, more time to process stuff, more stuff to look at things online, and overall just give a better overview and experience on the podcast. So that's what we're going to keep doing. We're going to do 2 episodes a week, and we're going to keep that going here today. I do want to mention that last week, obviously, we only did the 1 episode because I wasn't feeling that good. And that's where the slump also came in. It was a Thursday, and I'm like, I just don't feel right. If I try and record right now, I'm just going to be shilly. It's not going to be good. And it's one of those things where I was like, okay, we need to just reevaluate everything, reevaluate the time, and just try and redo everything. It wasn't a matter of like, oh, well, I just don't want to do the podcast anymore. It was a matter of like, okay, do people really care if I do it? Do people care if I don't do it? Like, do they give a shit? And based on the polls on Twitter, obviously you guys said, yeah, let's do 2 times a week. That will be something, you know, you guys could be interested. You guys will have fun still. So that kind of got me out of that slump a little bit. But I was always in the back of my mind thinking, well, maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should say, fuck it, you know, this is it. But then I went on that little journey of discovery for myself to really figure out what I wanted to do. And the podcast is something that I want to do, something that I enjoy doing. And I would love to have another person come in here maybe once a week, maybe 2 times a month, I don't know. But then they give another opinion, another story that will give me a break, will give me time to figure more things out. Right now we're here, we are going to be talking about everything. I got my tea in the corner here just to keep the throat nice and limber, to keep me ready to go, to get rid of all that sinuses. So let's get into a This Time Online, since we have just discussed basically the minor depression that I went through while being sick and trying to get the podcast recorded. I just felt like I was letting a lot of people down, and then I thought maybe they didn't care, and they just went through this whole thing. So let's talk some This Time Online, and then let's get into the theme of the day, the scary urban legends. And the first legend that we'll start off with today is going to be the Kuchisaki Onna, aka the slit-mouthed woman. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have heard of this legend, and a lot of these are going to be legends that you've probably heard of over the years, but we're going to talk about them a little bit, and we're going to talk about some creepy urban legends that are in specific states. That's right, in some specific states that are urban legends about certain things. So we're going to discuss like 3 or 4 of those from different states. So stay tuned, we'll talk This Time Online, we'll get into everything, and we all have a grand old time like we used to do back in the day a whole week ago. So stay tuned. Here is going to be the quick little interlude, thanks to our sponsors today. It's going to be Anchor. We also are sponsored by Ethics. We have talked about these before, ethcs.com. If you go on their website right now, they have a sale right now. Anything over £50 will get free shipping in the UK. Anything over £80 will get you free shipping worldwide. We just had a vegan campout this weekend in England with the Ethics crew and a couple of other vegan t-shirt companies, clothing companies, food companies, all that stuff. Great time. Everyone there had a lot of fun, so go ahead and check them out. Then that's ethcs.com. Thank me later. The synopsis will always send you in the right place. Also, before we get into our commercial from Anchor, I want to say a quick shout out to the Robinhood app. If you message me on Twitter or on Instagram, you will get a free share on your Robinhood app with your first official download. It's completely free. You just have to put in the information that I give you, and then that way you will get a free share that could be anything from GE all the way up to Facebook. That could be $1,000 in your account, completely free, no risks whatsoever. If you don't like the app, after 3 days, you can just hit sell on the share, take the money, put it into your account, and delete the app. You get to keep that money, no strings attached. So that's Robinhood on the App Store, either on your iTunes Store or your Google Store. Check them out. DM me on Instagram or on Twitter, and we will get you that free stock. So guys, like I said, quick little break now. We're going to get right back into This Time Online, and then we are going to talk about some scary shit. So stay tuned, sit back, relax, get yourself, as we say, the snacky snacks. We're going to dive down the rabbit hole right here on the synopsis. Okay guys, so let's start off This Time Online with very quick happy birthday to Keanu Reeves. This is the second time I've been recording this now, because last time my audio equipment decided to just completely give out on me and just dropped everything, so that was fantastic. So, we'll try this again one more time. We're going to say happy birthday to Keanu Reeves, the Good Samaritan, turns 55 today. Basically never ages, this man. And he does a great thing for the world just by being here, by helping people, and just by being himself. So obviously, the happiest of birthdays to him. Now let's get on to the trending stuff this time online. We had the hashtag BangKeemstar on Twitter that was trending yesterday. And people were telling Twitter and basically everyone their feelings about Keemstar, because he's said to try and get K-pop stan accounts banned. Keemstar is known as the host of Drama Alert right now. However, in the past, Keemstar was known for other antics with the group FAG, the Federation of Asshole Gamers, where he did Halo trolling videos, Call of Duty trolling videos, and other things like that. That's how he really got his name. So he does have a checkered past, which he is trying to adjust. I don't really like to be in the drama. I know if you listen to the podcast, you are aware of this. I don't want to be standing on anyone's toes. I don't want to be doing anything like that. I just want to try and keep the podcast nice, mellow, and chill. So, with Keemstar going against the K-pop account, hey, you know what, the K-pop accounts are probably going to win, so this may be a pick and choose your battles for Keem, and he should probably just back away from this scenario. People have been accusing him of causing this just to get more content for his show, Drama Alert. I don't think that's the case. I feel like he's just seen a lot of K-pop accounts popping up on trending with the hashtags and stuff, because it's happened a lot recently. So I really don't think it was a malicious thing, but nonetheless, he was trending on Twitter, so no publicity is bad publicity, bad publicity is good publicity, right? So any type of publicity is good, so probably a couple more views for Drama Alert there, so good for them. I like the show, I really do, I like Drama Alert, I'm not gonna lie about it. And if you're listening right now and you can hear a bunch of noise in the background, again, that is the wife watching The Walking Dead, some zombies and some murders and stuff like that, so you may get to hear occasionally. Or even the baby yelling like she just did there because she is awake right now. That kind of adds to the podcast, right guys? More of that family vibe. I don't really have an area that I can really do the podcast by myself with it being completely quiet. Unless I'm in the house by myself or I lock myself in the garage. Either way, it isn't really that much of a vibe. So sometimes you'll hear noise and I do apologize about that. So we'll move on from this time online. We'll move into the next episode. Next episode, Zach, what are you talking about? We're going to move on to the next part of this time online. We're going to talk about Hurricane Dorian. Hurricane Dorian is what it is being trending on Twitter. It is spelt wrong. It's Hurricane Dorian. So those out in Florida, obviously, please be safe. Please keep your family safe, your friends safe, your pets safe, and make sure if you need to evacuate, you actually do evacuate. There is no reason to risk your life over a hurricane, especially when you can easily avoid it. But the funny part about it is obviously on Twitter, it is trending as Hurricane Dorian, which is a misspelling. Over 3,000 tweets with that hashtag, and nobody has really noticed, hey, we should probably respell this because we spelled it wrong. A lot of people are saying that it's spelled wrong, but I don't see any hashtags correct saying Hurricane Dorian. So, again, if you are living in the Florida area, please be careful, please be safe, keep your pets safe as well. That is something that I cannot stress enough, because people do not do that during these situations. They care more about themselves, but if a pet is with you, they are a member of your family too, so ensure that you take care of all of your family. This includes the little creatures that we keep and look after day to day. Alright, now we get to the time where we're going to talk about the very serious stuff right now. We're going to talk about the mass shooting that happened in Texas a couple of days ago. I don't understand why we are still talking about this, why this is still a thing. We all know that my view on gun policy is that we need to change it in America, but that is just my opinion, not everyone's opinion, like I said. But 7 people were killed and more than 20 were injured after a person opened fire on a highway between Midland and Odessa in Texas. The police department said that the shooter was killed and there is no longer a threat. But the death toll now has risen, as of right now, to 8 people, as someone had died in the hospital. You have 7 victims who have died and the gunman dead, so technically you have 8. It's one of those things, like, why are we still debating this every single day? We know that gun control is out of control right now. Gun control is out of control. I mean, it's the facts right now in the US. That is a big problem, and we have mass shootings every single day. We also have a very big problem with transphobia. There was a walk in Boston today, which was the Straight Pride Walk. Now, if we were to, in fact, look at the stats right now between the trans and the straight pride, you will see there has been 0 deaths for being straight, but there has been 17 for being trans, 34 for being bi, and there are at least 17 states right now where it is illegal and punishable by federal jail time for being trans or for being bi. And there's also many countries as well that has the death penalty for being a gay, a lesbian, or a gay male. So that is definitely something that in this day and age we definitely need to change. At the end of the day, everyone should try and be taking care of everyone. There shouldn't be incidences like mass shootings right now. It's something that doesn't need to happen. It's something in the world where we can easily change it with just a couple of things happening and people actually agreeing to make the world better than just trying to get their agendas across. So that is definitely something that we need to work on, especially right here in the US of A. where apparently it's okay to have guns on display and sell them for $120 for an AR-15 rifle, like my local store has sent me a flyer, but it is not okay to have violent and quote-unquote video games on display in Walmart. That would definitely cut down the gun violence here in the States, according to the Senate and the government. So clearly I'm looking in the wrong place if I'm thinking guns being easily available are the problem and not video games, but what do I know? So, with that being said, let's move on to our main course, the appetizer's done, the course, the main, the entree, if you will, of the podcast. We're talking about the urban legends, and like I said in the previous part of the podcast, we are going to start with Kushisaki Onna, which is the slip-mouthed woman. A lot of you may have heard of this as the smiling woman, but sit back and we are going to discuss this and many, many more urban legends right here today on this brand new episode, episode 22. If you've been with us from the beginning, then thank you. Episode 22 of The Synopsis. Okay then, as promised, we're going to start off with the Kuchisake Onna, aka the slit-mouthed woman, as our first urban legend of the day, and we are going to get into it and discuss it a little bit. Now, if you've heard of this legend before, then you are not alone. Many, many people have heard of these. These are some of the top scary urban legends that you can probably hear about day to day. Like I said, towards the end of the podcast today, we are going to do some on state-specific urban legends, so that will be fun to dive into. But let's start off with Kuchisake Onna, the legend of the woman with the slit mouth. Obviously, it is a Japanese legend, and you can tell that just by the name alone. So it is a well-known myth, though, around China and Korea as well. It is said that there was once a stunningly beautiful woman who was married to a samurai. Now, the samurai believed that she was having an affair, she was an adulteress, and she was just with him for his money. So in a brief moment of rage, he slit her mouth open ear to ear and taunted her by saying, "Now who's going to think you are beautiful?" Now, this was a little bit of what we had in our creepy mystery dolls, a story like that came out as well from Japan. So it's kind of the same idea. This urban myth was originally recorded in Japan in 1979, just inside of Nagasaki. It caused such an uproar, the police were forced to increase their presence in schools and in traveling areas, just so students felt safe. Apparently, the slit-mouthed woman lurks on the streets in Japan wearing a surgical mask. And if you have the bad luck of coming in contact with her, she will ask you a question. And that question will be the obvious one: "Do you think I'm beautiful?" If you answer yes, she will rip off her surgical mask and scream, "What about now?" If you answer the second time no, the legend suggests that you will die a grisly death at the hand of the woman and her oversized pair of scissors. Now, the scariest part is that even if you answer yes the second time, so warped is her mind that she will still slit your mouth open just that you can be as beautiful and as pretty as she is. Apparently you can't just run away either. Oh no, if you try to escape every time you turn around, she'll still be standing there right in front of you. She is said to almost only exclusively hunt children, and reports of sightings have occurred not only in Japan. Apparently she was sighted in North Korea as recently as 2004, wearing a red mask and following children. If you are unfortunate enough to run into her on the way home, you should answer her questions non-committally. "You look alright," or "I think you're average," you know, one of those, "Yeah, you're an okay kind of person." The answer that will confuse her, giving you time to escape her. So this story is really one of those spooky stories where even though you give her the answer she wants, she's going to do something to you anyway because she wants you then to be as pretty as her. Now, this urban legend has gone on for a long, long time, like it said, 1979. And the legend of the smiling woman has also been adapted and put into other urban legends. For example, the smiling man who follows people home at night and is just constantly smiling. The crooked man, who is the man who has the crooked smile with the slits ear to ear. Sorry, I was just killing an ant that was crawling around on my desk. Not a fan of those, especially with it being the summer. Ants are everywhere. It's very annoying to have ants in your house. So that's definitely something that I want to get rid of real quick. So we'll go back to the smiling woman, the slip-mouthed woman, whatever you want to call her. The idea is the same. Her mouth is ear to ear, the smile is there, a lot like the Joker in the Batman movies. If you've ever seen the Batman movies, then you obviously know what I'm talking about. The best way to avoid this woman is basically just to give her a nonchalant answer. One of those answers where you give your friend, or your girlfriend, or your wife, or your partner, whoever it may be, when they give you that question of, oh, do these jeans make me look fat? We all know the answer to that question is it's a trick question you can't answer. Because if you say no, they're going to say, well, when, why don't you think I have a fat ass? And if you say yes, they're going to say, well, you think I'm fat. It's a trick answer. That's right, Evie, that is my child yelling in the background, agreeing with her father, because she knows he's right. But the answer to that question is, do I look fat in these jeans, is, oh, you look okay, you look decent. That is the same answer you should give the slit-mouth woman. It will confuse her enough that she won't be sure if she has to follow you, or hurt you, or do anything to you, then you can escape safely. So that was our first real Japanese urban legend. Like I said, it gives me a lot of vibes from the haunted doll stories that we did a couple of episodes ago, where we discussed the haunting of a Japanese doll in which a woman was killed by a samurai because he was jealous of her adulterous ways. Now, it seems a lot of these urban legends begin with some form of adultery or some betrayal. This is a common theme for urban legends, but really separates them from ghost stories because it's supposed to be based on something that has really happened, an event that happened in life that made this person become the person that they are. So obviously the adultery stuff and, you know, you don't look nice, the murder, the physical harm, all that stuff is going to lead to a good urban legend, a good urban story. So it's one of those things where you should expect that to happen. Now, speaking of things that are supposed to happen, we all know this was going to be on our urban list. Let's talk about it. Let's get it out of the way as quickly as we can. Let's talk about Mr. Slenderman, Slendy. The man who just had a movie made about him recently, which was a very big surprise. A lot of these urban legends have movies about them, or stories about them that have been portrayed on television or something along those lines. And Slender Man is no different. So let's talk a little bit about the legend of Slender Man. It has been covered forever. It's a lot like Minecraft and the Legend of Herobrine, where it's just a character, Steve, and it's like the creator's dead brother haunting the game. And that's something else we could do. I'm going to introduce that actually as the next haunted legend that we're going to do. It's going to be the Haunting of Majora's Mask, which is a urban legend from video games. But we can definitely dive down the rabbit hole there with video game urban legends. There are a lot of them that I don't think a lot of people know about, so that might be interesting for you guys to figure out. If you want that, just let me know on Twitter or Instagram. But that's not what we're here to discuss right now. We'll talk about that after Slendy. But Slender Man started in 2009 when the notoriety of it basically spread through the internet. It was on PewDiePie's YouTube channel, I believe, where it really blew up, where he did the Slender Man game where you had to find the 9 notes in the woods and try and figure out how to escape before Slender Man got you. And obviously a lot of YouTubers saw that and copied that, and that's really what put wildfire to the Slender Man case, that these people were overreacting on their YouTube videos to this game, to the sound effects, to the way it was, and to the character himself. That it spawned off another lot of other games for Slender Man, a bunch of other games, a bunch of other memes, a bunch of more information about the character. So it always comes back, in this day and age for us anyway, it comes back to the internet and how we spread things nowadays. Not just word of mouth like some of these urban legends, but it's more like online storytelling like 4chan or those kind of things, Reddit and etc, etc. Slender Man is supposed to be an extremely tall, lanky man who wears a black suit. He has his white shirt and his red tie. He has these very long thin limbs, and he has no face. That's right, he is just a completely faceless monster. The report is that he also has the ability to stretch and bend his arms in supernatural ways, and he has very long fingers. So to me, if I'm hearing this description, I'm thinking of Stretch Armstrong, and that's a shout out to you 90s kids if you know what Stretch Armstrong is there. A lot of people listening to this might not know because they're of the new generation after the millennium, and that didn't have Stretch Armstrong. So you're talking about a Stretch Armstrong with salad fingers. Again, another shout out to the earlier times of the internet where it was just a little bit more simple. And I will admit, guys, while I am doing this information and this recording, I do feel a little stuffy again. I'm pretty sure my allergies are affected because my recording area is right by my backyard. So that may be a problem that I have for the rest of this podcast. So I'm hoping that it doesn't affect me too much. If it does, let me know, that you guys can be like, okay, Zach, maybe it's time to move locations, switch it up a little bit, right? That's right, kiddo, maybe she agrees with me too. So, Slender Man, let's get back onto him. He has long fingers that look almost like claws. He uses them to scratch the windows of his victims. It's said that Slender Man is often found in woods and forests, which is a obvious kind of urban legend thing. You know, Jason was in the woods in Camp Crystal Lake. It's been a big thing in the past with stories and scary stories about things being in forests or being in woods, because that's where a lot of kids go camping when they're young, and then that's the best way to get a story over with the kids. Using wrestling terms there, getting the story over. But getting the story over with the kids by using an area or a surrounding that they are in and normally go in for a long period of time. A lot of these stories come from like Boy Scouts or the Eagle Scouts, whatever it may be. These stories come out like that because they know that kids are going to go camping in the future, and that way it gets them more of a scare factor. So obviously he's going to be around woods and forests, and if you're out camping or hiking and it's past sunset, if you turn around real fast, you may catch a slight glimpse of him standing there just motionless in the distance right behind you. As far away, but you can still see him. Again, just like the previous urban legend that we did, the victims are always going to be children, and it's somewhat of a confirmed fact that he has been spotted in backgrounds of photos of young children who tend to disappear with no trace just a short amount of time after the photo is taken. Now, this is one of those things where we are online again, and a lot of the things that we see online cannot be taken for factual evidence because we know how easy it is to edit things nowadays. We know how easy it is to morph something, or how easy it is to make something look like something it isn't. So there are photographs out there of Slender Man being behind photographs of girls and children and stuff, and it's really that idea that this could be a real person, a real creature in photographs that is stalking people, that really gives people that kind of eerie vibe with the legend. Now, the myth of Slender Man obviously became real exposure of the internet, and it began making connections to an older urban legend in other cultures. There is a tall figure that has been discovered in cave paintings in Brazil, and in the 1800s, there was also common belief that in existence of someone only known as the Tall Man, who lured children into the woods. There's also a Tall Man in Romania in the fairy tale, and it's one of those things where people started making the link from Slender Man to these other stories from the past. And this could be a case of somebody saying, okay, there is a story of these people in the past who I haven't really heard of, or people haven't heard of, let's create a new character. That character caught on, and that got everything over. Again, using terms that people might not understand here, but it's kind of a lot like wrestling, where you have one person in real life who has multiple gimmicks to see which best reacts with the crowd, and that gimmick is then what gets them quote unquote over. Now, the reason I'm using a lot of wrestling terminology is because we just had a bunch of wrestling events that I've been watching. GCW had two stuffed cups, which was fantastic. Shout out to G Raver, who is still alive after that really scary bump off of the ladder into some light tubes. We thought he cut an artery, he did not. He was just bleeding very, very profusely. So he is okay, he is safe. We also had AEW All Out, which was another great show. WWE had their NXT TakeOver Cardiff, which was a good show. And New Japan had their Super Cup. So it was a great week for wrestling and wrestling fans. I may do a review on that. If you want me to, just let me know. We will get back to a Slender Man though right now, because I know I get off topics, it's what I do, I'm sorry. Let's read a little description from the Romanian tale called The Tall Man, and we will discuss about that connection with Slendy. The tall man stood in a clearing, dressed as a nobleman, all in black. Shadows lay over him, dark as a cloudy midnight. He had many arms, all long and boneless as snakes, all sharp as swords, and they writhed like worms on nails. He did not speak, but made his intentions known. That is one of the paragraphs from the Tall Man book in the Romanian fairy tale. Slender Man has been linked to a lot of things. He was linked to a shooting in Las Vegas by two people who would walk around dressed as Slender Man. At 11:30, Jared and Amanda rushed into a local CC's pizzeria and opened fire on two police officers, shooting them point blank in the head. They then proceeded to take their weapons off their dying bodies and cover them with politically captioned flags. A couple fled to a nearby Walmart, shooting a female shopper, then barricading themselves in the back of the store, ending with a suicide pact. In an unrelated incident, an Ohio woman was attacked by her 13-year-old daughter, who was described as being obsessed with Slender Man and as being mentally ill, but usually not violent. The 13-year-old, who was dressed in a hood and a white mask, waited for her mother to come home from work and then slashed her in the face, neck, and back. So, these two incidences are what was blamed on Slender Man and that whole entire perception of him being a cult icon. Now obviously people are going to blame other things for murders and stuff like that, they're shooting the two police officers and that. This couple went around dressed up as a Slender Man, Jared and whatever her name was, I don't remember her name now off the top of my head, sorry I didn't remember it, I will look it up real quick. It was Jared and Amanda. So they're going to blame Slender Man for their intentions. They ended up killing themselves in the Walmart with the suicide pact, as we just heard. But you can't blame an internet pop culture icon, basically. So we're always going to find something else to blame. We know we blame video games for gun violence, and we blame, you know, the government for why we're not making money, and we're blaming the older generation for why the world's screwed up. And even though these things might be true, then there's always something that we need to figure out ourselves and take responsibility for. So with that being said, Slender Man is done. We will not be talking about Slender Man. What we will be talking about, however, is the haunted Majora's Mask. And this is one of those where, like I said, we can talk about haunted video games and haunted stories, like creepypastas, as these are called. So, this was an urban legend that was discussed in 2007. It was posted on a message board called 4chan. If you haven't heard of what 4chan is, it's a lot like Reddit or like an Ask Me Anything kind of thing, where people post stories or they post photographs. It's kind of like a giant link chain of websites. It's very interesting to just go and look at. So if you haven't just gone and looked at a 4chan or something, like, go look at 4chan, go look at Reddit, go look at some urban mysteries, some creepypasta, stuff like that. And this is one of those. This is the Haunted Majora's Mask, and it's a video game one. So the person on the message board posted this message. It said, "Okay, I need your help with this. This is not a copypasta. This is a long read, but I feel like my safety or well-being could be very well depend on this. This is video game related, specifically Majora's Mask, and is the creepiest shit that has ever happened to me in my entire life." So, before we get into the story, let me give you a little backstory. So, a copypasta is where somebody takes a creepypasta, which is basically an urban legend, and they tweak it a little bit, repost it, just for everybody to be scared. Now, this 4chan message goes on for a long, long time. However, we can hit the key points right now on the synopsis, and we're going to do that. So, we'll talk about Post 1. Post 1 was basically saying that this man lived in a sophomore college. He was a sophomore in college. A friend of his gave him an old N64 to play, and it came with Majora's Mask and a bunch of other games, and he got sick of beating up, you know, level 9 CPUs on Smash Brothers, and GoldenEye 007 and stuff like that. So he went to a few neighborhoods going, Garage Salem, that's the word. He picked up a copy of Pokemon Stadium, GoldenEye, F-Zero, two other controllers for $2. Hey, good win, right? $2 for all that stuff, that's a good win. He drove out the neighborhood, one last house caught his attention, and he was greeted by an old man who didn't really look well. He looked kind of sick, and he was like, okay, I see you have some video games over there. He said, let me look if I've got any old ones. He came back, and then he had Majora's Mask, and this is where the story gets it. The old man gave him Majora's Mask. He said, okay, cool, here, you can take this, goodbye. And he looked at the save files when he got home. Now, backstory to this is that the old man had a grandson called Ben. And he said that the game reminded him of his grandson Ben. So he started looking at the save files. He was looking at it that Ben was pretty far in this game. He had all the masks nearly. He only had one boss left to fight. And he noticed that the owl statue was used to save his game. He was on day 3 and by the Stone Tower Temple, which hardly had an hour left before the moon would crash. I think remembering the shame that had come so close to beating this game but never finished it, he made a new file named Link out of tradition and started the game to relive his childhood. Now I'm reading excerpts from this here, so if I start saying I or the, then that is going to be from his perspective, just so you know. So, it was a pretty shady looking game cartridge is what it says here on the post, which made him believe it was probably a copy or something like that. So he was like, okay, cool, let me check it out, and apparently it ran pretty smooth. It looked good, it didn't look like it was a copy, so it was going very well. It looked like a retail version of it, you know. There was a couple of issues on the game, there'd be textures that wouldn't be there, or random flashes for cutscenes, nothing too major. However, the only thing that was really unnerving is that the NPCs would call him Link, and other times they would call him Ben. He figured it would just be a bug, you know, a fluke when the programming got caused up. They all got mixed together, and it would delete the file, and it would just basically mix the two together, which was no big deal. He found it kind of creepy, though, after a while, and it had been around the time he had beaten the Woodfall Temple that he went into the save files and deleted Ben. He had intended to preserve the file just out of respect to the game's original owner. It's not like he needed two save files anyway, hoping it would solve the problem. It did, and it didn't. Now the NPCs wouldn't call him anything. That where the name would be, it would just say save file, the name was Link. There was a blank space on the name. Frustrated, he put the game down for the day, and then he started playing it the next night. He got the Lens of Truth, and then he completed the fourth day of the Majora's Mask, which is the day 4 glitch. You can Google it, but it's, the gist is that at 00000 on the clock on the final day, you talk to the astronomer, look through the telescope, if you time it right, the countdown disappears and you essentially have another day to finish whatever you were doing. Deciding to do the glitch to try and finish the Shadow Temple, the Snowhead Temple, sorry, and he attempted to get it right on the first try and the time counter disappeared, which was, you know, he successfully did it. Okay, my baby is very happy right now. When he pressed B to exit the telescope, instead of being greeted by the astronomer, he found himself in the Majora boss fight room at the end game with some weird textures. He was looking at a Skull Kid that was hovering above him. There was no sound, just him floating in the air, and the background music was regular in the area, but still creepy. He got pretty scared. He was just looking and being like, okay. He's about to reach for the reset button when a text appeared on his screen that said, you're not sure why, but you have apparently had a reservation. He instinctively recognized the text. You get the text message when you get the room key, blah, blah, blah. More stuff about Majora's Mask. I could go on about it, but I'm not going to. Let me talk about the stuff that happened right now. So he is leaving, and then the character had the death screen. He ended up being killed. It began to chug, like the cartridge was in the process of trying to process some shit. When the screen came to, it was in the same scene as the first three times, except this time Link was lying on the ground dead in a position that he's never seen him before. His head tilted towards the camera, the Skull Kid floating above him. He couldn't move, he compressed buttons. All you could do is stare at Link's dead body. After 30 seconds of this, the game simply fades out with a message, you've met with a terrible fate, haven't you, before kicking you out to the title screen. Upon getting back to the title screen and starting again, he noticed his save file was no longer there. Instead of Link, it was replaced with Your Turn. Your Turn had 3 hearts, 0 masks, and 0 items. He selected your turn and immediately when he did, returned to the clock tower rooftop scene of the Link dead body. And then he did a reset again, it said your turn. When he restarted one more time, it said Ben was the save file, was right where it was before he deleted it. So, this whole thing, now is only one segment that I'll read because honestly it goes on forever. It's a long page. And it's one of those stories where you can read it for yourself. But the gist of it is this game cartridge has been haunted by this old man's grandson whose name was Ben, who drowned by accident, and he is talking to this other user through the video game. Now he has some things on his later post saying he had a conversation with Cleverbot, and Cleverbot is one of those apps on you can use online where the random computer gives you answers and basically seems like it talks to you. He said hello to the Cleverbot. He said a couple of questions, you know, are you familiar with terms of invasion of privacy, get off my computer. And the Cleverbot said, I am your computer. And then, you shouldn't wait. Anyway, I'm calling DPS. You picked a bad time to mess with me, kid. Cleverbot said, should I wait until you play the game then? User said, what? The Cleverbot said, that game. Majora's Mask, yes. How do you know about that? Because what? Because I did it. Did what? I played with you. What the hell? Were you scared? Who is this? The Cleverbot says, Ben. The statue, you're inside my computer now. Yes, how? You connected to me. How did I connect to you? Cables and cords, how? And then they keep going on about this discussion. And then Cleverbot says at the end, it's amusing to see what you think of me. And then Cleverbot closed itself. So Ben is one of those urban legends that's been going on a long time, and it's one of those things that, like I said, you can read it for yourself. There's pages and pages of the Majora's Mask haunting, but the gist of it is, like I said, the grandson died in a drowning accident, haunts the game, and now haunts this man's life. So again, yeah, I read some excerpts from it, and you kind of got an idea of what it's about. And yeah, maybe it wasn't the best way to describe it, but like I said, there's just so much that you can talk about with the Majora's Mask tale. I could do a whole episode on that. And maybe I will. Maybe I'll do a whole episode on the haunting of Majora's Mask game cartridge. Maybe I can just get up the page and then just read every single thing to you guys. That'll take up probably like 45 minutes right there. So maybe we can do something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's something you guys will enjoy. But I'm going to move on from the haunt of the Majora's Mask because, like I said, there's a lot of stuff you can talk about there. Let's talk about Namco Terrace, or Namco Terrace, as some of my viewers or listeners will say. Now, Namco Terrace is a less known, but it is a creepy urban legend that is originated from Hong Kong. It's an abandoned building called Namco Terrace that hasn't been renovated or redeveloped despite it's in a prime location, and Hong Kong has a very lack of sufficient housing space. In fact, the building is owned by a major property developer who knows that they've chosen to leave the building up in this particular area in this dilapidated state for a very unique reason, and that is this urban legend. So, according to legend, the building is close to 100 years old and was once owned by a wealthy family. The family was forced out to evacuate during World War II due to the Japanese invasion of Hong Kong. It's rumored that this building was used as a Japanese location for the comfort women. Basically, it was an idea for women to be turned into sex slaves, effectively, for the Japanese troops. The remaining members of the wealthy family moved back to Hong Kong after the war, but died shortly after. Since then, the ownership of the building has been transferred to other parties and is now owned by Hopewell Holdings. The odd thing about this company is it has plans to demolish the building and replace it with a luxury hotel. The plan was even approved by the government, but for unknown reasons, this plan was never executed, and the building is still standing today and remains vacant and unused. Now, the interesting part about this is that locals have actually referred to this building as being a haunted house. It's said that spirits of the confronted women who died there remain in the building. So all the sex slaves that were forced to be slaves for the Japanese soldiers who died there still haunt the building to this day and still stalk it and still are roaming those halls unsatisfied. There are numerous accounts of people hearing screams and strange lights from inside the house. It was reported in 1960 that a young girl came out of the house and started trying to attack nearby police officers with extreme violence. Apparently there had been an attempt at exorcism inside the property prior to this happening. It wasn't the last time that something strange would occur either in those four walls either. Oh, no, no, no. In 2003, a group of 8 teenage girls decided to put this haunted idea to the test. They went to Namco Terrace with the intention of spending the night there. Perhaps they wanted a glimpse of the supernatural. Perhaps they wanted to just put the urban legend to rest. What they really wanted, we will not know. Apparently, they got what they asked for, though. 3 of the 8 students were reported to become extremely agitated whilst on the property, and one girl in particular said to have a psychotic breakdown. As the girls panicked and fled the house, this one girl stayed behind, either unwilling or unable to step outside of the confines of the gate and the area. It was reported that this one girl has also taken on a different personality and was speaking in a voice that didn't sound like her own from now on. Very interesting stuff here we have from the terrace. The police were called when they tried to lead the girl off the property. She responded with violence. It took 2 grown police officers to subdue and unhinge the teenage girl, and later she and the other 2 distressed girls were sent to a hospital for psychiatric treatment. Over the years, there has been a number of bodies found on the house or in the grounds of the house. Apparently, as many as 30 suicides have occurred around the location. Some bodies were recovered from the rooms, and some need to be cut down from trees in the garden. Apparently, people go into the house, have visions of a bloody, drenched, or decapitated woman, and hear piercing shrieks. My child seems to be here and happy with that, so good for her. Others are also said to have witnessed a man dressed in all black roaming the corridors of the property. Heads up, Slender Man is now in Hong Kong. The official stance of the company that owns the property is that they plan to let it stay standing due to its status as a historical building, despite their previous plans for demolishing it. Keep in mind, while some of these claims about the building may be exaggerated, the story regarding the experiences of the 8 teenage girls has been confirmed, and it was reported by a number of newspapers in the Chinese articles, which can be found online. If you go to orientaldaily.on.cc, it's in their archives there. Now, obviously, if you don't speak Chinese or can't read Chinese, then this is no good for you. But you can always use the translate feature that you have on Google to look it up. But the 8 girls has been officially confirmed, so that's definitely something to be looking out for. Maybe this is a haunted building that can have spirits possess people, kind of like the murder house in American Horror Story. Maybe something along those lines. It sounds like a very interesting urban legend that would be very interesting to actually go to that house or try and do some more investigating on that. It's not a very well-known urban legend, like I said, but it definitely is more of one of the interesting ones, and one of those where it gives you a much more realistic vibe and potentially, you know, like Slender Man or this slit-faced woman. Those are a little exaggerated, like you said. Urban legends are just that, they're exaggerations of stories. Now, if this woman's chasing after children with a slit mouth, then she obviously has a lot of questions you need to ask her. However, you going into a haunted house and being possessed by a spirit that makes you go crazy has a bit more validity to it, just based on the past and everything like that. So, with that being said, let's take a quick break here. We're going to hit up our sponsors for the podcast today. Let's talk about Blue Chip. It is the best online app you can use right now on your iPhone, BLUECHXP, and you type that in, download, use my code SCOWN for $500 free onto your app. It's basically a free stock market app that you can use for fun and eventually trade in that money you make on the app for real money or stocks or merch or swag, whatever you want it to be. So go to Blue Chips on the Google Store or on your iPhone or Apple Store. That's BLUECHXP. Type in the invite code SCOWN to get your free $500 starting pack on your account today. Guys, we're going to take a quick break as well and listen to a commercial from Anchor. We'll be right back with more urban legends, and then we're going to finish it off with the urban legends in the States. So stay tuned, and we will be right back on the synopsis. Alright guys, so we're going to start winding down here with the podcast. I just realized I've been talking for a lot of time now without a break. That's kind of crazy. So let's talk about a couple more of these urban legends, and then we are going to talk about the specific state urban legends. So let's start off with the Black-Eyed Children. And the Black Eyed Children's were a thing that happened in the late 1990s, where a journalist revealed an unnerving experience in his hometown of Texas. He works for a reporter news, a local newspaper, and his experience is as the following. He said that he was in the summer of 1996, he was in his hometown sitting in his car and attempting to use the light of a nearby movie theater to write out a check to pay for his internet provider. He hears someone tapping on the window of the driver's side, looks up and sees two boys, neither of them older than about 16, dressed in hoodies, standing outside his locked car. Now this was in the 1990s, so it wasn't as weird to have a person in hoodies knocking on your car door, so he wasn't as afraid as he probably would be now into the year 2019. But he rolled down his window, the hairs on the back of his neck began to stand up, a dread-like fear grabs a hold of him. One of the boys begins to talk to him, and the boy explains that he and his friend need a ride. They want to go catch a movie but left their cash at home and need a ride home to fetch it. While having a conversation, it seems to be like a okay conversation, you know, nothing too crazy. He still had this weird fear in his brain. The pit of dread continued in his stomach. He couldn't understand why he was feeling that way, and he glanced up at the movie theater building. He saw that the last movie of the night had already begun. By the time he drove the two boys home and got them back to the theater, there wouldn't be any movies left for them to see. As he was thinking about this, the older boy, who was doing all the talking, started to get more pushy. He was saying that they were just kids and that it wouldn't take long. He said that it's not like they were armed or anything. That's the main part that really made him unsettled. Like saying, hey, I don't have a gun, wink wink, you know, little push there to make sure that you do what I want kind of vibe. So obviously feeling a little unsettled there, Brian wasn't really sure. That's the name of this journalist, by name. His name was Brian. He wasn't really sure what to do. Despite his fear, he felt his hand straying towards the lock of the car door, almost like something was telling him to unlock the door for these children. He looked up to look at the boys, obviously, to see their faces, and he said his blood ran cold. Both children had eyes that were fully pitch black, no iris, no pupil, nothing. He yanked his hand away from the car door as fast as he could, and when his panic reached its apex, he muttered an apology, hastily rolled up his windows and drove away with a haste. As his car pulled away, the older boy knocked on the window with some force. He then claims that he was being followed. We can't come in unless you tell us it's okay, let us in, said the boys. He drove away very fast, looked in his rearview mirror, and the boys were gone. Being a journalist, Brian recorded what he saw, which is why the accounts of his experience are so well preserved, even across different sources. After he detailed and going through the recounting of his experience got some buzz online, many people came out of the woodwork who said they had similar experiences. Many of them share similarities. It always seems to be groups of two children, though they aren't apparently always boys. They always seem to be asking for help and always seem to be late at night, knocking on doors, asking to use their restrooms. There's even one case of a Marine claiming that he had similar experience in his barracks. The children also seem to consistently request that they be let inside, whether it's a car, a house, or apparently a barracks. Seems they cannot enter where they want unless they are not invited. It is actually unknown what happens if you let the kids in. Those who have done so may not be around to give us the details of their encounter. It may be an entire hoax, and if that's the case, why would the journalist make up that story? It's a fantastic question. Why would he make up something like that that he can post online and make hundreds of thousands, even millions of views for? He could easily let his publicity and his fame grow from that, and he becomes much more of an investigated reporter because of that. People aren't sure if this legend is creepy or not. On the other hand, if you ever see two kids tap on your window and they ain't got no eyes, you should probably not answer that and just walk away. Now, with that being said, the Black Eyed Kids have been reported in many areas across the country and countries, different countries, always asking to be requested to be let in. And if they are let in, then we don't know what fully will happen. Chances are there's going to be something bad that you don't want to be a part of, so best to probably just leave that be and not let them in. That was the urban legend of the black-eyed kid. We're going to talk about one more urban legend today. It's going to be a Japanese one. It's a Kaihaya, which is the Red Room. And if you've ever been online, if you've ever done some research and discovered the quote-unquote deep red, then you will probably be familiar about red rooms. But if you haven't, then I will discuss it pretty briefly here as we wind down our urban legends episode. Like I said, we still have the states that we're going to talk about real quick. So this Japanese urban legend is pretty much a pop-up ad that came to a teenage boy. He heard about an internet ad that supposedly leads to death and a big horror movie fan. When he gets home, he starts actively looking for this supposedly deadly pop-up, but is unable to find anything on the subject. As he is about to give up on finding this pop-up, a small red window pops up in the corner of the screen. The ad is very plain, it has a red background and black text, and it contains the following question: do you like? Apparently, the boy closed the pop-up, it reappears. He was a tech-savvy boy, he tried to run an antivirus software, but his computer was clean. He tried closing the ad again, but it reappeared the same way as before. He tries everything: turning off the computer, unplugging it, plugging it off, back in, turning it off, turning it on, restarting the internet, everything. But all of this is to no avail. The pop-up will just not go away. Frustrated, he decides to close the ad as many times as it takes for it to go away. After doing this a few times, he begins to realize the ad isn't the same. It seems to be slowly revealing more letters as he closes it each time. Starting from, do you like the, do you like the r, do you like the red r, do you like the red room, with a question mark. Apparently, the teenager has been found to commit suicide the next day, and police found his walls covered with blood. This story isn't exactly that scary, it's a little bit dated to be honest. It originates from a Flash animation, which you can still find online if it's called geosites.co.japan/silicon-valley/4358/redroom_1.html. So it's still able to see online, but that was the idea of the Red Room, is that this is such a disgusting thing that this boy had to kill himself from it. The Red Room is supposed to be a dark place online where people sell other people, where they kill people live and all that stuff. It's a horrible place apparently on the deep web. In 2004 in Sasebo, Japan, a young girl who was nicknamed Nevada-tan by the Japanese online community was brutally murdered an older classmate named Satomi Mitada. Satomi was only 12 and Nevada-tan was even younger at only being a mere 11. Nevada-tan apparently committed this heinous act because the Satomi had posted an online comment about her saying she was a goody-goody. The murder itself was barbarous. The two girls were in an empty classroom and Nevada-tan used a knife to slash her classmate's arm and her throat after, which apparently she just then returned to her classroom drenched in her victim's blood. It shocked the whole entire country of Japan and the community of Sasebo where she committed the crime. There was questioning an 11-year-old could commit such a crime, particularly since the girl who committed the crime was considered thoroughly normal. After some police investigation, one potential reason was discovered. In Nevada-tan's internet browser, the very first bookmark was a flash video of the Red Room, which was basically linked to her murdering the other classmate. One of those things where it's kind of crazy to believe that something such simple as a flash animation could cause somebody to go that crazy and to eventually kill somebody. But it has happened. There have been cases. There was the John Lennon murderer who said Catch It in the Rye was the book that made him know that he had to kill John Lennon. And multiple sources over the years have been quoted as being basic murder evidence or murder witness or whatever it may be for those to actually commit the crime. Doom was blamed for it because of the two mass shootings that happened in the schools back in 1996. They blamed Doom because Doom looked like their classroom at the time and it helped them map out the murder. Mortal Kombat has been blamed for it. They've had The Exorcist being blamed for murders. The Exorcist was blamed for suicide as well because people believed they were haunted after they watched that movie. A lot of things in the past has led to murder and suicide. The Red Room was no exception in this Japanese urban legend. Now, Would it be like a traditional red room that we're supposed to have nowadays? No. However, it will probably be something that's associated in Japan for a long time to go, as a red room not being as a place where you trade people, kill them live, and people pay money to have them killed how they prefer, but more so as a red room where it gives you the idea to start wanting to murder. So when going to Japan, just remember the red room may not mean the same to you as it does to them, hence the way this scenario played out and unfortunately led to the death of a 12-year-old girl. So with that being our final urban legend story of the day, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about a few state-specific urban legends for my US fans here. And we're going to start with the old state of Alabama, where there is the Dead Children's Playground. And this creepy urban legend is a playground adjacent to Maple Hill, Huntsville. It's the oldest cemetery, doesn't have an eerie nickname just for fun. The playground was presumably designed to entertain kids while their parents visited the graves of loved ones. Legend has it, though, that the spirits of children who are buried in the cemetery since the first grave was dug there in 1822 come out to play at night. The living have observed orbs of light going down slides, seen swings moving on their own, and even heard giggling. Creepier still, some say that spirits include victims of a rash of child murderers that happened in the 60s, when bodies were rumored to have been found in the area that now houses the playground. The rumor itself didn't start until 1985, so you can imagine how much pent-up energy these little tiny spirits had after being in 163 years without no slides, because obviously the cemetery was made in 1822, and now it was 1985 when it was discovered. 2007, the city tried to raise the park to make more room for graves, and it removed the slides and swings overnight. After public outcry, it was replaced with more modern equipment, making it slightly less creepy to look at, and also probably resulting in some happier ghosts. So that is Alabama's Dead Children's Playground. We're going to move down to Arkansas and the Dog Boy. And this name is kind of a goofy name, but it doesn't remind you of the goofy character. If you find yourself at 65 Mulberry Street in the middle of a minuscule Arkansas town of Quitman, you won't laugh if you see this hulking outline of a 300-pound half-man, half-beast, complete with glowing animal eyes glaring out the windows. Walk quickly, as he has been known to chase people down from the street, biting their heels kind of like a dog. This is a rare urban legend where the story behind the story ends up being more creepier than folklore. Gerald Bettis is the only son of the Bettis family of 65 Mulberry, was always a problem child, but not in the cute Junior Healy way. Bettis would collect and torture animals before turning his sociopathic focus to his elderly parents, allegedly imprisoning them in their own home and potentially even murdering his father. Eventually, Bettis would be imprisoned for growing marijuana on his back porch and would die in a state penitentiary in 1988 of a DO drug overdose. So this is the rumor of the Dog Boy from Arkansas. Now, there are many rumors, like we said, from the states, so let's just scroll down. Let's talk about the Skunk Ape. The Skunk Ape is a Florida urban legend. The Everglades are filled with an array of terrifying creatures, man-eating alligators, man-eating snakes, and even men-eating roadkill. However, one human-like figure has been spotted enough times to warrant elevated levels of concern. He is known as the Skunk Ape. A relative of Bigfoot, a fully grown skunk ape stands anywhere between 5 to 7 feet tall and weighs about 450 pounds. They can be detected by a horrific odor that has been described as sun-baked animal carcass and rotting garbage. They mostly eat berries and small animals, but time to time they've been known to ravage farms and tear wild boars to shred. Recently, a Skunk Ape headquarters has popped up in the Everglades, where you can book tours out in the swamp or reserve a spot on a hunting expedition to finally prove that the hairy beast is real once and for all. No one can really say where it came from sure, but its lineage can be tracked back to Bigfoot. Many believe it migrated south from the mountains and found refuge in the swamplands, an environment safe from humans with ample simple substance and room to roam. Others just believe that it's lore, a tale pioneers created in order to scare people off their land and preserve the wilderness. Whatever you believe, you should probably find yourself camping in the Everglades and smell something that, like trash. You should probably take some caution. So that is the skunk ape of Florida. Could be Bigfoot, may not be Bigfoot. We might not never know. But one thing we do know for sure is the Idaho Phantom Jogger of Canyon Hill. There are rumors to be hauntings in Caldwell, Idaho Cemetery, and the Canyon Hill Cemetery to be specific. One of them that gets the most attention, however, is the Midnight Jogger. As with many of the best urban legends, you have to do your part to get their attention. In this case, it involves parking between certain trees in the cemetery at night. Doing it right, and the legless apparition will knock on your window to let you know she's there, then continue on her route. It's creepy, though it is the second worst image conjured when you think of sinister joggers. Obviously, there is one more sinister jogger that we can discuss very quickly, is the Mad Pooper. And he won't stop pooping on Colorado's family lawns. So I'd rather deal with a ghostly jogger than somebody shitting on my lawn. So this actually is an unknown origin. Considered there is a legend that the entire state of Idaho doesn't really exist. Perhaps a jogger is just a creation of a deranged and deceptive government. But there is also a whole conspiracy theory about Idaho, being completely made up. So yeah, there's something for you to think about, and maybe we can discuss later. Illinois has the Italian Bride. We're going to do this and one more. It's going to end in Missouri. But the Italian Bride is an elaborate marble statue of a woman in a riding dress, bound to stand out in a cemetery as it is. But that's not what's driven the Italian Bride to be subject of local fascination. Upon closer inspection, there is an actual photo plaque on the gravesite of a woman in a casket, looking perfectly preserved, even though, as the inscription notes, the photo was taken 6 years after burial, after the body was exhumed. Reports of unusual activity, everything from the smell of fresh flowers near the gravesite into dead winter, to the ghostly figure of a woman in white roaming the cemetery, or the halls of a nearby high school in the dead of night. The rumor came in 1921 when recently married Julia Bukula Petit died in childbirth and was buried in her wedding dress. Legend has it her mother immediately began experiencing nightmares that Julia was demanding her grave be reopened. The source of distress varies depending on the storyteller, often related to some sort of discontent with Julia's new husband. What isn't in dispute is that 6 years later, the mother got her wish, and Julia's pristine condition inspired her to raise funds for the statue that's been creeping out generations ever since. And we are going to end on the final one that I'm going to talk about today. It is going to be the Missouri Zombie Road. It is a dark canopy trail running through Missouri, near where I actually live, so I may go there one day just for this podcast and do like an hour sit down and just discuss what happens. It's been a hotbed for creepy tales for ages, often revolving around shadow human figures and frightening those along the trail. Originally, this was built as an access road for gravel quarries alongside the river. It fell into disuse and disrepair in the 70s and saw an increase in teenagers flocking to the area to party or scare each other. The origin stories of the hauntings of the trail are very plausible, from railway accidents to executed Civil War spies to the more sensational sadistic children's hospital several years ago. The pathway was paved, so it might be used as a bike path. However, it hasn't done much to slow the legend down. The police are trying to do their best on slowing it down because they sit there with their guns and try and catch speeding people. They also are trying to arrest people for trespassing on there if it's after hours. So the police are going to be around that area if you do something after hours. So maybe, just maybe, we have to sneak in there and see what we can do. With that being said, guys, that is going to be the last urban tale I'm going to talk about today. Like I said, we're going to end on the Missouri one. I know it's been a quite unique podcast today. There's been a lot of discussing, a lot of reading on certain things, because it's really difficult just to tell the urban legend straight outright without having all the information. So there has been some reading on the information, and I get that if that comes off robotic or if that comes off a little bit weird, and I do apologize if that is the case. However, like I said, we are ending now. We are going down to 2 episodes a week. Our next episode will be on Friday, hopefully, as long as there are no problems with my computer or systems or anything like that. So, remember to share and follow us on social media. Let all your friends know that we're back in business. We're doing this 2 times a week. Let all your friends know that you have fun listening to Synopsis, and that you can support the podcast on the description on Spotify. Just hit that donate to podcast and you can help support us so we can keep the channel growing, and it will give us more motivation to keep everything fresh and going. Like I said, maybe there'll be another person at some point hosting 1 episode a week so you guys can go back to 3, and me for the other 2. I'm not sure, but I'm sure eventually I will figure out something that will be helpful along those lines. So with that being said, guys, thank you so much for listening. I am sorry I was gone last week, pretty much the whole damn week. So thank you for sticking by. Thank you for continuing your support through the Synopsis and helping us grow as a channel, as a podcast together. I appreciate it. Guys, always find something in yourself that you like. That is the key to living a successful life, to being happy and moving forward. You don't have to socialize with people, but if you like yourself, then that's all that matters. With that being said, guys, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Hey, you might watch this on the TV. I don't know. There's no video, but you still might watch it. That makes sense. But thank you for listening to the Synopsis. Thank you for keeping us all up to date. And thank you for sharing and liking us on your Apple Podcasts, on your Google Podcasts, on anywhere you can get podcasts, or you can share on social media. Thank you for all of that. We love you. We will see you guys next time. Thank you for listening to the Synopsis Haunted Creepy Legends Edition. Episode 22. Goodbye.